Welcome to the Atom Ventures podcast. My name is Bharat Patel. I'm the managing director of Atom Ventures and Atom CTO. And today I'm here with Alexis Eyre from Green Eyre. Say hello.
Hello. Great to be on.
Well, it's great to have you. The reason I wanted to bring you onto the podcast was because your life is now involved with sustainability. And this is something that, you know, obviously we're all hearing more about. But really, I wanted to delve a little bit deeper into this because this is a subject area that I kind of feel I only really know little bits about. And what you get in the news. So I would really like kind of deep dive into this. And obviously, as you're dealing with marketing for this, I find that whole thing very fascinating. So let's take a little bit of a deep dive. Firstly, for those who have heard of the term but don't really understand it, what is sustainability in your mind?
Sustainability is basically finding a balance across the environment, society, and economy so that you are sustaining a sort of equilibrium across all of them where no one, you know, not one is taking more than the rest and not giving back. And unfortunately, at the moment, you know, we are taking so much and actually not regenerating what we're taking. So to put it in perspective, we are using 1.6 years worth of Earth's resources every single year. So that's how rapidly we're getting through resources, because we're not giving, you know, we're not putting stuff back into it. And so that's just, and also the social inequalities that are just rife at the moment. So it's finding that equilibrium where everything can function together. And it's finding that sort of like absolute pinnacle where you're not going outside the boundaries with any of them, which is currently what's happening at the moment.
Because I think when most people hear sustainability, they just think recycling, right?
Yes.
But they really, what you're talking about is more of a balance between business, people's needs and wants, and the environment around us.
Yes, basically. Yeah. It's so much more. I mean, recycling is a very easy thing to hold on to. But it is a tiny, 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 tiny percentage of a bigger thing.
So tell us about your journey. I mean, we talked a little bit about this before the podcast aired, but you know, what was your journey to starting Green Eyre and getting more involved in sustainability as a market and as a concept?
So it was actually a year ago. It was 3 years ago. I was doing a transatlantic and I just had a break between jobs and I was like, I just need to go and do something that will push me completely outside the boundaries. So I jumped on a boat and crossed the Atlantic and I was about 1,000 miles from land. And I saw some plastic chairs floating past me and some plastic bottles. And I was like, I'm literally seeing what Blue Planet 2 is all about, but I've seen it in my flesh. And I just, that image just never really left me. And I was just, I just need to do something about it. And for the next couple of years, I was sort of looking into masters and environmental science and all kinds of things. And it was just far too much money and, you know, and also time, I think, as well. And then I came across this course called Business. It was just a short 8-week, very intense course by an arm of Cambridge University called the Cambridge Institute of Sustainability Leadership. And they run this 8-week, really intense course on business sustainability management. And it literally just changed my world, as it seems to for every single person that does it. And it basically lays out everything to do with all the levers that need to be pulled across the world and society in order to make a clean transition and how crucial it is that we need it. And yeah, and then I was working for a creative agency at the time and it was just clashing massively. I had a day job that was telling me to sell as much as possible. And I was having this course telling me that, you know, we're just consuming too much at the moment and we can't, in the current business practice, we can't do that. We can't keep doing it. And then I was furloughed for 5 months and I just went on this amazing journey of learning so much, like doing other courses, talking to so many people. I set up a podcast, which was inspiring sustainability in the global marine industry. And I also was very lucky that my friend was training to be an exec coach, and I basically became her guinea pig. And so she just gave me free training every single week, which was just amazing to try and direct where I wanted to go with this. And that's basically how the idea of the consultancy came out. And originally I was going full throttle sustainability. And actually, I spoke to a professor and I was like, I think I'm going to leave marketing. He was like, don't leave marketing. He was like, marketing is literally the most powerful tool that is going to take help with this transition. And you're one of the people with your experience that knows how to change people's hearts and minds. And actually, we need you with that understanding of sustainability to be able to change, you know, to build impact from within inside that function. And so that's basically where it's happened. It's just been a fireball of a year.
Well, yeah, it sounds like a lot has happened. I can't really imagine what it must feel like crossing the ocean and seeing a plastic chair floating there. Must be
appalling.
So at the Cambridge course, what you mentioned, there were many things that blew your mind there. So can you just kind of give us a synthesis of some of the things that you learned there that I think would be useful to share with other people?
Yeah, I think first of all, they spend the first 2 weeks sending you into a complete climate anxiety when you realise just how bad the situation is. But then it's amazing. They then start giving you all the tools of you know, what actually we need to do to be able to fix it. And I think there were some quite key things that came out of it. There are three main levers that are going to help, and you need all three to act together. So you need legislation, you need finance, so you need investment going into the right areas, and you need businesses to be on board with that as well. So those are the three biggest levers for sustainability that will help, you know, sort of the world become a more sustainable place. The other big thing that came out of it was that so much of it, there are such enormous challenges that not even the biggest multinationals would be able to solve it by themselves. So actually, there is so much pre-competitive collaboration going on, and actually partnerships play a massive role in it, going, okay, we're going to sort out the cotton industry. Well, you know, me by myself can't do it. But actually, if all of us got together, or five of the big multinationals got together and then worked on supply chains, you can still have that competitive advantage, but actually you're sorting the very core of it. And I think that's the thing I've absolutely loved. And you started to get that vibe from the course. And ever since then, is that everyone is out to help each other. It's bizarre. Like, you know, sort of meeting other people who should be my competitors, and yet you end up becoming fascinated by them. You end up working with them on stuff. You don't see them as competitors. You see them as just another sort of information that will be able to, you know, help or direct you in some way. And I think that's been an enormous part of this. I think it's been really interesting.
So what you've mentioned there, obviously one of the levers of being business, and we're talking to businesses as part of this podcast, but what you've just mentioned there around the multinationals getting together sounds a lot like a top-down type mentality, but is that really enough? Because shouldn't we also be focusing on the smaller businesses, because there are far many more smaller businesses than there are multinationals, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was just a pure example. I mean, it can work at absolutely any level. And, you know, it really can. There are startups collaborating on stuff as well. And actually, the really interesting thing is the startups are in a much better place than the big multinationals, because these multinationals are like tankers trying to turn, whereas a startup can literally, or an SME, can change much quicker. So actually, they're probably in a much better position, you know, for all of this, and, you know, and in collaborations as well. I mean, it could be regional collaborations, it could be, you know, it could be by location. It doesn't have to be sort of transnational, you know, sort of collaborations or anything. So
for small business owners, people who are listening here who've just maybe got a micro business, because that's what the majority of the businesses in the UK are, right?
They're under, yeah, absolutely,
5 or 10 people. So what could they do? I mean, what they'll be listening to thinking, well, you know, I'm just a small little player here. Okay, I recycle. I try to do the things, you know, buy green. What more can I do? So what more can they do?
I think that some of the biggest things they can do is, well, it depends what they do. I mean, the services industry is obviously the easiest one to change over. I mean, it's things like, you know, green energy contract, making sure that all of your electricity that you're using is all green. You could, you know, rather than always buying new equipment, can you just repair it? There's so many repair sections out there. So if your laptop suddenly goes, actually repairing it rather than just ditching it and going for a new one every single time. There's all kinds of things. I mean, you can go into shared spaces. So therefore, you're actually sharing, you know, the office space. I mean, that could be another wonderful way. And then if you've got the more physical products, it's actually starting to look into your supply chains and actually just going, you know, the materials I'm using, what are they actually doing for the planet? You know, and you can ask those questions of your supply chain and starting to really sort of root around and finding out where that's actually coming from. Because that's one of the biggest things, I think, is that the lack of supply chain transparency. So many people don't even know where the origins even are for many products.
I think one of the problems probably most small business owners will face or will think is that, you know, they're not confronted by the choice. right? Mm. So it's a nice idea to be able to choose where you get your energy from, but actually practically it's not there in front of them. So, you know, and you work, okay. So from a practical perspective, and you're working with sustainable marketing, marketing strategies.
Mm.
What can they do there? Because marketing, everyone has control of, right? You can. So, what?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are the kind of things that you encourage people to do from as part of Green Air?
So, there are two elements to making your marketing more sustainable. You've got your operational costs. So that is everything that you that puts your marketing campaign out there. So it'll be like a pop-up stand. It could be a photo shoot. It could be your email campaign. You know, it could be anything. So any carriage to get your marketing message out there comes under operational. An email emits 10 grams of carbon. Every single email for one person emits 10 grams of carbon.
Wow.
How many emails do you actually need to send per week, knowing that click-through rates are actually quite small? Do you know what I mean? Is it, you know, could it be rather than twice a week? Could you maybe do it once a week? But really bulk that email out, or sort of start thinking much more efficiently. I mean, for a start, it will actually make you a lot more efficient and actually, you know, sort of focusing time on maybe one rather than two things at the same time. If you're doing pop-up stands, there are starting to be companies where you just hire stuff out. And so they can then take it all back rather than having everything printed out again to then just be thrown away at the end. I mean, the sort of events industry is appalling for that, like the conferences, that sort of element is, you know, they come on for 3 days and then everything gets thrown in the pit. So it's just starting to think, you know, every single element, how do you stop stuff from ending up in the bin? Or from a digital footprint, do I need to send this to every, you know, like as often as I send it while still gaining traction? It's just smarter marketing. And then the other element is brain print. And marketing is very focused on, say, the 4% of people you'll be able to convert to be customers, but forget the other 96%. But actually, you have an influence with every single word and every single image you put out there. You know, you have an influence, whether you realize this or not, you are saying something. And actually what we need businesses to desperately get on board with is actually to start using imagery that depicts a sustainable lifestyle. So making sure, you know, really simple example, make sure that your imagery doesn't have plastic cups in it. You know, that people, you know, if you're using imagery of people in a boardroom, they've all got their reusable water bottles or their, you know, solid mugs, you know, from the kitchen rather than any plastic bottles. Making sure that fossil fuel cars aren't being used in all your imagery. It's all those kind of things. It's like small tweaks and just making sure. And the copy that you're saying is not saying, make sure you bring along a plastic water bottle. It's really, you know what I mean? Like you say, bring along water in your reusable bottle. We've got a filling station or something. It's those kind of things that are really small, but actually you can have such a big impact on.
So these are more of the subtle changes rather than anything big bang that you have to do as a small business, right?
Yeah, it's just literally starting to, and you can imagine if every single business got on board, you just then normalize what a cleaner lifestyle looks like. It then doesn't become a sort of, you know, a question really. Another actual thing actually that I was just thinking about is what businesses can do. I mean, websites, there are lots of websites that you can feed your website into, just your link, and it will tell you how efficient your website is and how much carbon it's emitting every time someone comes. That's a really simple way. And I can tell you the majority of reasons websites aren't efficient is because the imagery is far too big on it, you know, file size. Yeah. So it will just be about actually using exactly the same imagery and reducing it or reducing the number of films you got on there. It's things like that that are actually like, you know, for one man bands, you can actually make quite a big impact for very little.
So one of the messages I'm hearing from that are quality and content rather than quantity of output. So ensuring that what you're sending out is actually has that message that you want to deliver. But also when you're looking at that messaging, ensuring that it's not just, you know, you don't think of it as an afterthought of which pictures you're putting in. You actually put that in the forefront of, you know, I'm going to go and specifically choose these images because of these reasons rather than just picking the first one that you get off the net, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a bit more conscious. And actually, it will become natural after a while. It's one of those things, isn't it, when you change a habit, as they always say, like initially, it takes a bit of effort. But actually, once you get going, it'll also automatically just start looking at photos going, nope, not right. Nope, not right.
So the clients that you work with, I mean, how do they find you and how do you engage with them? How do you typically take them through this journey?
I've got a few clients. I'm working with a sustainable investing platform called Climate Invest. And actually they've got a sister brand called Climate Careers. For them, it's actually about setting up sustainable partnerships with them. That's a huge part of it, and activating, sponsorship deals for them. So for them, it's actually they're already in the sustainable space already. So actually all their imagery and copy is very much down that kind of line. For me, it's more about keeping that momentum going. So when I'm looking at partners, it's like what partners actually align with that, you know, and making sure that I do a really big deep dive into those partner brands, to make sure that, you know, they have the same high sustainable credentials as Climate Invest. Otherwise, it just doesn't really match up. Otherwise, if you start sort of working with another brand that literally is, you know, is not very good sustainably, it just doesn't hide, you know, it doesn't help either of you really. So that's what I'm doing with Climate Invest. And actually, I'm doing quite a similar thing actually with a sailing club as well. And then around a sort of launch marketing strategy for a circular fashion brand, which is really interesting. And that's all around what needs to be done so that you're actually maximizing effort with minimal effort, maximizing the presence with minimal effort.
So if you had a new client decides to come to you, what's their process of onboarding for you? What do you look at? How do you bring them to become more sustainable in their market?
First thing is actually just having a good conversation with them, you know, like trying to work out where they sit, how much they understand about sustainability, because I think that's the big, that's the really interesting area is like what everyone has as like, you know, slightly different view of what sustainability is. And it's just trying to make sure that, you know, we're talking the same language. I think that's the initial thing. And then actually just looking at what they've done already. What are they actually asking me to do? And then I suppose going from there, and what I'll normally go back with is a sort of proposal, basically, you know, that then people can, you know, say, this is where I think, you know, changes can be made or, you know, whatever else. So it's a sort of an evolving process, I think. But I think the big thing with sustainability is the working out where that person is and that where they are in their knowledge, because you don't want to end up talking jargon or anything that might end up causing confusion at all, because it's about making it as easy as possible for everyone to understand.
And I guess it will also take time, right? It's not something that will happen straight overnight. You're not going to suddenly switch your entire marketing plan.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, the other really interesting area as well is that people have got in touch with me is that actually it's not just about marketing. They actually want so much more. I'm part of a network of sustainability consultants who all deal with different things. Like some are carbon experts, they can help you with your carbon emissions. Some can help with supply chain transparency. I mean, they literally work all over the place. And that's actually really helped. And, you know, and we help SMEs on this. So it's the perfect area really for that.
So if you're someone who's looking to engage with more sustainable brands, now how can you ensure that there's not a kind of greenwashing going on? And I guess you can maybe describe a little bit about greenwashing as well.
I mean, greenwashing, I actually came across a wonderful expression this morning, which basically said greenwashing is when 99% of the marketing is focused on 1% impact. And you can completely see it. If they are focusing all their efforts on, when you look at their website, you're like, that's actually quite a tiny part of everything else, you know, they're going on about that one element so much, and yet 99% of their products don't actually align with that. That's really when you get greenwashing, or when you get a lot of chat, very sort of blurry lines. There's a lot of sort of like, we'll aim to do this. There's nothing really sort of specific. It's not like we will do this with a set target. And I think this is where saying you're going to become more sustainable, I mean, what does that even mean? It doesn't. Whereas if you said we are going to cut our emissions by 50%, you're like, okay, right. And you know, there's no harm in saying we haven't got there yet. Transparency is absolutely fine. And I think greenwashing comes in when companies basically make out that they're already there and you find out they're not at all. I think it's matching up what you say and what you do. And if you haven't done it yet, at least being transparent, saying, you know, this is our aim by this date or whatever, you know, along those lines.
So basically what you're saying here is that if you're a consumer looking to engage with the brands that are truly sustainable, then they'll have had an action plan or at least some sort of concrete milestones or some objectives that they want to hit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can find it usually on their About Us page, or they'll have an impact page or something like that, where they'll be really clear. Like, you'll get really clear targets where they'll literally say, we will cut our emissions by 50%, or we aim to eliminate plastic from our whole company by 2025 or something. So they're really clear cut things. When they just go, we aim to be more sustainable, or we're working on our sustainability. I mean, that could be anything. That could be them literally just deciding to recycle, you know, metal cans when their employees bring that in. I mean, that's, I think that's the sort of real element. And I think that's where it is actually becoming very easy to start seeing the difference between, you know, a proper sustainable brand and one that's just jumping on it because they feel they have to.
So this is quite interesting, because you mentioned this a couple of times, where sustainability can mean different things to different people. And you mentioned, like, what does sustainability mean? So it seems to me that small businesses could really promote themselves as moving towards something, a more sustainable model, by saying, look, we're working from home, or we're not in the office. We've got paperless office. We're doing X, Y, and Z things in our office, so that it doesn't necessarily mean that. And these may be things that they're doing without thinking, they're just doing it as it, because it seems sensible. And by that, they are moving towards a sustainable, you know, end game. But they're on that journey where they're not really 100%, you know, carbon emission free, but they're getting there. So a lot of companies could adopt this without having really to change much of what they're doing, because what they do is quite sensible.
Thing is that you still need to set yourself targets for the future. I don't think any company out there has nailed it, or anywhere near, you know, yet, because there's so much in there. So I think it's saying, this is what we do currently, and this is where we're aiming for. And I think, as I've said, it's just about targets, having really clear-cut targets. And I mean, there's so many certificates out there that are quite good guidances, but there are so many that anyone can get and actually don't have impact anymore. But a kind of a certificate for a small company or a micro company would be something like EcoVadis. Or I never know how to pronounce. I know that it's EcoVadis, and something like that is a very well-known, good certificate. But the thing with those kind of certificates is it actually asks you questions, so you know where your downfalls are. And so something like that's actually really good to sort of term. But I mean, yes, micro businesses working at home, if you're in the service industry, you're probably in a lot better place than people selling a lot of products. So I think there are different people at different stages.
Plus, I guess a lot of it is making sure that you maintain that focus right over time. So certifications are great, but then they are kind of just a point in time check, right?
I mean, the big thing that's going to hit a lot of SMEs in the future is that the investment world is moving so fast towards only investing people that have sustainable credentials and can actively prove it. In the future, you will not be able to get investment if you cannot prove it. So actually, it's becoming a kind of no-brainer for many respects. And also, legislation's coming in that you have to be 50% less emissions in literally the next 9 years, which doesn't sound very fast, but considering we're already in 2021, it's, it's moving quite fast. So it's no longer I can decide or not decide. You're going to have to, otherwise you'll just be left behind. At the moment, the great thing about it is it's still a competitive advantage, whereas in the next couple of years, it won't be. And in the next 3 years, it will be. If you aren't there, you'll just be left behind. Because the other big thing as well is, if you are a micro company and you're a supplier to a bigger company for whatever you supply, they are having to make their supply chains net zero as well. So so they're going to have to go through their whole supply chains. And if you don't fit that bill, they're just going to get rid of you and find another supplier. So there's so many levers that are starting to push this forward that actually, it just makes business sense to do it sooner rather than later, really, and start thinking about it.
Sure, I can hear lots of small business owners crying because of all the additional red tape they have. But I think what the encouraging thing about this conversation has been is that it's not gigantic steps forward that a business needs to take, right? It's small things that are actually probably what they're doing mostly anyway now. They need to highlight.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think there is so much more that everyone can do, but there are definitely things that you can start looking at for sure, you know, that can help make very quick changes.
So you have your own podcast. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
I set up Future Blue last year, and it was actually after someone interviewed me, Kerry, wonderful Kerry, who's the co-host. He interviewed me actually for a podcast about my transatlantic trip across the ocean. And at the end, I was like, damn it, I just didn't mention that actually one of the biggest reasons it had influenced me was because I now did a sustainability course out of it. Like, that's actually probably the biggest like reason it changed my life, because of seeing that plastic chair and everything else. And he wrote back a couple weeks later and was basically like, I think you're onto something here. Shall we just do one episode? I was like, whoa. I was like, sustainability is so much bigger than that. So he was like, okay, fine, first 10 episodes. And so I sort of wrote what I would like to, you know, what I thought would be a good place to start. And that's basically how it started. And we really focus on the first half of every episode with an industry expert in the area. So if we're talking about, I'm just trying to think of someone. I've now completely forgotten all that. So yes, so circular economy. You want to learn about circular economy. So I started with wonderful Arthur, and he spoke about what is the circular economy? What does that mean? You know, blah, blah, blah. And then the second half was dedicated to an example within the marine industry, basically saying, this is what it is. And look, someone's already doing it. So you can't tell me that, you know, the marine industry can't do it because look, someone already doing it. And so that was basically the sort of theme behind it. Yeah, we've had a really interesting group of guests. We've sort of focused on a different episode each time, so people can really deep dive into different areas of sustainability. So you can learn about the circular economy one episode, or circular design, or social equity. I mean, it's quite varied, but hopefully some sort of journey.
So how do people find it? What's the
it's on Spotify, it's on Apple Play. It's called Future Blue. If you type in Future Blue Sustainability, it should come up in that.
And if people want to get in touch with you personally and Green Air, how do they do that?
They can get in touch with me via Alexis, so Alexis, at Green Air, which air is spelt like Jane Air, so not the normal. So it's EYRE.com. So it's Alexis@greenair.com. Or you can find me on LinkedIn, just Alexis Air on LinkedIn. And yes, get in touch that way. Love to hear from you.
Excellent. So we're moving towards the final question of the podcast, which is one I ask all of my guests. And that is, if you go back in time 20 years and give advice to your younger self, what would that advice be?
Oh, gosh. I was sort of mulling over this. I think I would just say, just keep taking every opportunity you have. You never know where it's going to lead. I think linear careers are over. Bouncing between different companies and roles. I don't mean like, you know, every 4 months changing, but I mean as in, I don't think it is a bad thing anymore. I think you actually bring a wealth of experience with you every time you change, as long as you don't do it too often. But I think it's actually just not being scared about that.
I think that's very interesting, because it's a theme that's run through a couple of the previous podcasts I've done. And I mentioned this to someone not so long ago, where, you know, after living in the US, where people do kind of appreciate if you have worked in different places, because you can take the different knowledge and bring it to the new place. Whereas in the UK, if you've done that, everyone looks at you, ooh, it's a bit flaky, ooh, not reliable. And I never really understood that attitude, because if you're sitting in the same place for 25 years doing the same thing, you're not learning anything new.
No, absolutely. And I think that also depends though on what kind of company it is, because there are some amazing companies out there where people have worked there for a long time, but they've had the perfect environment to do it, where, you know, access to learning and new opportunities are always coming up. So you're never static. But I think it's wonderful. I think it's really interesting. Even if you're just on a temporary contract for like a month here, a month there, for a bit of filling time, I think you learn so much about how industries work. And also you learn which ones you don't like. So it sounds really bad, but you work out pretty quickly through temporary contracts. Like when I used to temp quite a lot before I got my first job, I mean, I learned pretty quickly which industries I definitely didn't want to go into. So it was, you know, it's a good learning curve both ways.
No, and I think that's really important. I think a lot of people in life in general, they don't know what they want, but they do know what they don't want, right? They know what they don't like. And the quicker you can find out all the different things you don't like, the easier it is for you to figure out what you can end up doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, and in many respects, thank God, you know, you haven't dived into a full-blown industry and thinking, God, I've got to stay here for 18 months to make this work so my CV looks good. It's quite good just trying out a few different ones.
Excellent. Well, Alexis, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like what you hear, then please subscribe. We're the Atom Ventures podcast, and you can find us on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all the great podcasting sites. Please also leave a review. And if you want to get in contact, then please visit our site, atomcto.com. You can find us on LinkedIn under Atom Ventures and Atom CTO. And you can email us at info@atomcto.com.